I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Thank God, when you're born again, the scripture says you are born an overcomer, and the faith that's in you is the victory that overcomes the world. Father, we pray today that you would give us exactly the words and the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, the things we need for right now, and to prepare us for what's coming next. And we purpose to be doers and not hearers only, to remember what you say, and as you show us and with your help, put it into practice. And as surely as we do that, you will watch over it and perform it because you are faithful to do so. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would look again in the scriptures, we've been talking about the 23rd Psalm and then all the reasons that followed that, about God being our good shepherd, about Him being our source and supply and provider. Our series is called Faith for Provision. Provision. The very word, pro, means before. Vision is seeing. God sees before all you'd need for your whole life and beyond. And in His graciousness and goodness provides abundance of every good thing. And you and I will encounter it if we're on His path. Because the provision of God is not on the rebellious path. You know what's on the rebellious road? Hard times. Huh? Lack. Failure. You know, all kind of wrong things. Curse. But on His path, if you're following Him, He's already pre-staged everything you need for your entire life and beyond. And we have been studying one by one 30 reasons, we're down now to reason number 14, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for all of His people. And of course, He wants everybody to come in and be His people. Though many decide not to, the invitation is there and the provision is there. The provision of what Jesus has done in the cross. And you know, Romans 8:32 says, if God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He gave you Jesus, there's nothing too big that He wouldn't give you. After giving you Jesus, what's a car? Right? Or a house or clothes or our money or any of that. And really, when He gave you the Master, He gave you all that too. Comes with. So we got down in our study to reason number 14, that we are sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because God is the God of restoration. God of restoration. Say it out loud, everybody. My God.
My God.
My good God.
My good God.
Is the God
of restoration.
Now this means more than many have thought. It doesn't just mean something that was lost replaced. In God's plan is that you go beyond what was lost, double or more than that. And we saw in the book of Joel that describes it, the second chapter of Joel, how that when God's people repented and got back to Him, He said, I'm raining on you. I'm blessing you. Your your wheat places are going to be full. Your vats are going to overflow. That's wonderful that you've been delivered from your enemy. You're no longer being crushed and destroyed. You're back in fellowship with God. You got full provision. You got plenty to eat. And the Lord said, and I'm going to restore to you the years that were eaten up and devoured and consumed. That's the God we serve. That's the God who is our Father. And so there's nothing, no lack in any of that. He doesn't want you to permanently lose any good thing or forfeit any good thing He wanted you to have. He is able, even when we make mistakes, even when we've lost things because of our own dumbness, He is able and willing and merciful to restore to us what we've lost. If we'll repent, and if we dare to believe in Him being that good. Amen. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So the word restore is the word shalom, is connected to the word shalom, and it means to be completed. Go with me and let's look at another instance of this today in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. This has to do with the ministry of the prophet Elisha. You know, he served under Elijah. And then when it came time for Elijah to leave, and Elijah is one of only two, I guess, that we know of that never died. Enoch was caught up. And caught up to God, and he never died. And apparently Elijah, a similar thing happened. He was caught up. Angels came down in a chariot of fire and a whirlwind, and he caught a ride with them. Amazing. And if you say, well, how can that be? I don't know. Ask God. But if the Bible says it, I believe it.
Amen.
That settles it for me. But then Elisha had requested that a double portion of what was on Elijah as far as anointing and that ministry, and he got it. You can see it, the miracles and things that happened in his ministry after Elijah departed. Well, part of this, some of these miracles happened concerning a woman of Shunem that the Bible describes. Elisha was traveling on his circuits that he did, and the scripture said there was a woman of Shunem that was wealthy, and she noticed that the prophet kept coming through there, and I don't know how they had met or crossed paths, but she told her husband, she said, you know, he comes through here pretty regularly. Let's set up a place for him at our house. Basically, put on a bedroom for him and furnish it with a bed and a lamp and a place to study and all that kind of thing so that he can come here. Well, excuse me, I should have told you this. The reason they met is she invited him over to eat. That's what happened. And I guess her cooking was good because he kept coming back. And so then she says, well, just, you know, when you're here, no need to try to find somewhere else to stay. Stay with us. So they spent money and built on their house and bought furniture and did that. Can you see a valuing of the things of God and the man of God and the ministry of God, the Word of God? And so in essence, they became a partner with Elisha. And they invested into him. And of course, when they knew he was coming, I guess, you know, they got the room ready. They got extra groceries or whatever, and they did the cooking and all that kind of thing. And how long this went on, I don't know. But at one point, Elisha called the man that helped him and he said, have that woman come here. And so she came, and he said, you have done all these things for us. What's to be done for you? Did you know that's how God thinks?
Yeah.
Huh? The Bible said about in the book of Acts that the Roman soldiers said his alms and his prayers had come up before God. And so the Lord sent Peter to his house. Hallelujah. When you honor the things of God, you're honoring God. What's going to happen? He's going to honor you. And so he said, come here. And he said, what's to be done for her? He said, you want me to speak to the king? You need anything? Because he had access to the king. And she said, no, I'm happy with my people. And his servant said, well, you know, they don't have a child. And her husband's older. And man, that was the word. The word came in to Elisha. He said, well, about the time of life, I was talking about 9 months after conception, you'll have a son. And she said, oh, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, you know, don't play about that. You know, that was something that was too dear to her. And she probably had given up on that dream some years ago. But sure enough, 9 months later, got a baby boy. Well, everything was wonderful. And the little boy is a child. But he went out to where his father was in the field working one day. And the child began to say, my head, my head, my head. And he said, well, take him back to his mom. And she held him on her knees so he wasn't very big until noon, and he died. Well, she laid him on the bed. You know the story. She called her husband and said, I need a ride. I want it quick. And she told the guy that was driving the donkey, don't slack up from me. Push this thing, pedal down. And they went to the man of God's house, Elisha. And he came back. And the Lord showed him what to do. He laid himself on top of the boy's body. And the body started to warm up. And then he went and paced back and forth and I guess prayed and sought God. He came back. He did it again. And the child started sneezing. Well, he was dead. And so he sneezed 7 times and he raised up and he called his mom and delivered the son. Well, that was what had happened up to where we're reading here. So if you look in this fourth chapter, 2 Kings, 8:1, this is later, much later. Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life. And he said, arise and go thou and your household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn, for the Lord's call for a famine. It'll come on the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, there is so much about partnership in these accounts. She took the initiative, and she's the one that reached out to him and said, come eat with us. And she provided meals. And then she talks to her husband. She says, let's build onto the house and prepare a chamber. Well, the next thing you know, the Lord's prompting the man of God, what's to be done for her? And she gets the desire of her heart, a child. And then when she lost the child, God restored the child. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. But that's not the end of the story. Even years later, the man of God, and he's a prophet, and a prophet is a seer, and prophets will see and know things before other people do. And now, there are people that pretend to be prophets that are not, but then there's the real thing. And so he calls her. Why her? She's his partner, right? She's been supporting him for years and hooked with him for years. And he says, there's coming a famine. It's going to last for 7 years. Y'all need to leave. Y'all need to get out of the country and leave. Now, here shows what kind of confidence they had. Yes. Is that right? Because she's wealthy, very wealthy. So she's got a nice home. She's got a nice place. They got a nice everything. But when he told her that, she took that as coming straight from the Lord. And she said, well, all right, we got to go. So they packed up and they left the country. Well, 7 years passed. Terrible famine. They missed the whole thing. Terrible economic collapse. They missed it all. They were somewhere else enjoying life. Does it pay to be hooked up with God and to stay hooked where He hooks you? Right? Be a part of what He tells you to be a part of. And it just keeps going is what happens. I mean, first they get a child. They get the child raised from the dead. Now they've missed 7 years of economic problems. And it ain't over. It came to pass at the end of 7 years, the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry to the king for her house and for her land. Because you know what happened? Probably somebody took it over. They've been gone 7 years. But she's a woman of faith, praying woman. And over there where they've been for 7 years, she got it in her heart, we need to go back home now. Drought's over, famine's over. Yeah, but your mind might say, well, is there anything to go back home to? But just like David we talked about on yesterday, he found faith to encourage himself and ask the question. And so she's going to the king to request of him that she wants to go back to her home and her land. He has the authority, no matter if there's squatters on it or whatever, the king has the authority to clear them off and give her back her place. Or somebody took it. And the king was talking to Gehazi, just happened to be talking to Gehazi the same morning or day, whatever it was, that she comes. She's waiting out in the foyer for her appointment with the king. And the king is talking to Gehazi, who served Elisha. And the king, it came up in his heart and mind, he says, tell me all the great things that Elisha did. He said, the king is asking Gehazi, he said, man, I've heard about these miracles. And there were a bunch of them. He said, I've heard about them. Tell me some of them, because you were there. And it came to pass as the king, Gehazi is telling the king how that Elisha had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life, she comes up at the same time he's telling the story about her. Yes. Now that's some timing. Because yes. He was telling other stories about other miracles too. But the moment she walks up and steps up, he's just talking about her. And how her son was raised from the dead. She came and cried to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. And this is her son. So she brought the boy with her that day. And the king's going, that's the boy that was raised from the dead? He says, yeah. Of course, he's 7, 8 years older now. So he's maybe a teenager or whatever. But he said, O king, this is the woman. And this is her son. Whom Elisha did what?
Restored.
Somebody said restored. Restored. You'll find that word, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in this chapter. Restored. This is the woman whom Elisha and her son that Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. He said, you're this woman. She said, yes, okay. It happened, just like he said. And he maybe went through and told it again about, you know, was he dead? Oh, he was dead. You know, I don't know what happened, but it's something in his head. And I held him long as I could, and I knew he was gone. But I knew if I could get to the man of God, I just thought, look, the Lord would do something. And he did. And he came, and he laid out on him. And next thing I know, I heard sneezing upstairs. And I thought, that ain't Elisha. That's my boy. That's my boy. And he brought him down alive. And here he is, big strapping boy. And that affected the king so much that his first word was what? Are y'all reading verse 6?
Yes.
Huh? So the king looks over at one of his officials and he says, "Hey, I'm assigning her to you. Come here. Come here." "Yes, sir." "What?" He said, "Restore all that was hers." So every acre of land, every building, her home, her house, restore all that was hers. All her livestock.
Yes.
Huh? All her, restore. All that was hers and. Oh, Clash, y'all going to help me with this or not? And. And don't you know, she's a happy woman at hearing this. I mean, she don't even have to go into any big plea. She shows up. God has already set everything up for her. They're already thinking about her, respecting her before she walks through the door. And the king just said, everything that was hers, it's still hers. Yeah. See to it. You go with her official and make sure, check all the paperwork, check all the documents, the titles, everything. All the land's hers. All the buildings are hers. All the livestock's hers. And all the fruits of the field. Since the day she left the land, even until now. Oh, this God is too good. Come on, y'all listen. This God. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Think about what God has done for this woman and her family over a period, I don't know, of this past 20 years or whatever it was. I mean, it starts out by just valuing the ministry enough to say, "Let me cook you a meal." That's how it all started. Let me cook you a meal. And how many think? She's a wealthy woman. How many think it was a good meal? I bet they pulled out the white tablecloth. Right? I bet they got the good stuff. And it must have been good because Elisha comes back. And he comes back and she says, "Well, hey, let me just build on. And then, you know, when supper's over, you can just go to your room. And we won't bother you. And you can enjoy, and we'll fix it where you got a place to study, you got a place to sleep, you can come and go like you want to." Then or now, it takes money to build on your house. Right? It takes money to keep it up, buy furniture, all that kind of thing. And so God, anytime, He is not unrighteous to forget what you do for His people. He is the faithful God who keeps covenant and never forgets. And so he brings it up to Elisha. "I want to do something for this woman." And so he calls her in. Next thing you know, she's conceived. Next thing you know, got a beautiful baby boy. But the enemy's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. We don't know what happened, but the boy was stolen. His life was stolen. But it wasn't the end. Hallelujah. God restored. He restored. And now this woman is a partner of Elisha's for years and has received a miracle, the desire of her heart, but still going on with this partnership. And the Lord says, tell her. See, Elisha, he's doing what the Lord tells him to do. Tell her she needs to get out of this country. She needs to get out of town and don't come back for 7 years. Well, man, she didn't argue. She didn't fuss. They packed up. They went. And the enemy would tell you, well, you're losing everything you've built up your whole life here, and you know somebody will come in and take it over, and you're a fool to do it. But she wasn't a fool. No. And when she came back, she didn't lose a thing. All she missed was poverty. All she missed was 7 years of hard times. And when she came back, God had already prepared the king and inclined his heart toward her, had his mind on her and her family, and said, "No, come here, official. See that everything that was hers is hers and." and every crop that her place would have produced for the last 7 years, I want you to see to it she gets that too. 7 years of crops you didn't plant, you didn't work, you didn't reap. Oh, this God. I said, this God, the God of restoration, so good, so gracious. And he wants to do that for you. And he wants to do that for me. Pray a prayer with me. Say, Father God, I believe it. You are this good. You are the God of restoration and recovery. The God of mercies, loving kindnesses, tender mercies, the good, good God. I believe you can and want to and will restore to me things that seemed lost forever, things that seemed impossible to recover and get again. But nothing is too hard for you. I believe it. I will receive it. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. He heard that. He's doing that. Send us the testimony. We want to know and shout as it happens for you. Well, our time's up. We'll see you soon back in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. So stirred up about the God of restoration. I like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. I know a lot of you are. You pray for us. You sow into this. If you want to be a partner, information's on the screen. But you being a partner, like we talked about this woman was with Elisha, it gives us rights to believe with you and for you. And God is a restorer, and he will protect you and keep you because of your faithfulness to him. Father, remember those, and I know you never forget, in a way of manifesting your goodness, just like you did for this Shunammite woman and her family. I pray those that have been faithful partners with us and to you, Lord, cause to come on them the desires of their heart, cause to come this protection from loss and lack, and Lord, even this restoration of things that they thought maybe they would never get back. It is your will for them too. I ask for it and I speak it over them. Increase, protection, restoration, blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's the same God today as he was then. He's no respecter of persons, and he heard that prayer. Send us testimonies. Let us know what God did for you like this. And we'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.